Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Used as an interjection in trap music, this vowel-less word conveys the sound of tires screeching. Michael.
What is skirt?
Yes. Well said.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! And last but not least, over yonder, making the magic happen all week long, it's Eshua Kid.
How y'all doing?
What's up, Esh? Thanks for joining us, everyone, here on YouTube. Hit the like button, subscribe. Podcast listeners, we see you as well. While you hear us, leave us a 5-star rating and review.
Creepy.
We really appreciate it. Yeah, it is.
I hope
creepy.
We're not watching them.
Yeah.
That'd be super creepy.
Yeah, check your Apple settings. All right, let's get into the games. We got a bunch of news later on, of course, tweet of the night. But let's start with Kevin Durant, scoring 37. This guy is cooking right now, helping the Suns rally to the 117-111 victory over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, Cavs missing a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
But still, Suns start their road trip here with a much-needed W there in Cleveland.
Absolutely. They're three men playing together, Beal, Booker, and Durant, for only the 24th game this season. They need to get those going together before the postseason starts, so BBD doing their thing. Kevin Durant.
East Coast family?
Yes, for sure. 1-2-3 ABC. Durant, 37. Yeah, he's been absolutely cooking. 35 or more in four straight games.
Yep.
If those three guys played together, maybe Durant would have got some MVP votes. Maybe this team would be a little bit better. Either way, it was a funny one because they started off slowly. They gave up 41 points in the first quarter. That's a lot of points to a depleted Cavs team, but they only gave up 41 points total in the second half when they turned things on. And it was so funny because the way this game ended, because it looked like the Cavs could take this thing to overtime. They're down 2 with 50 seconds left. Alley-oop for Jared Allen. It just kind of flubs through his hands. And then Kevin Durant missed the other way. And then as Isaac Okoro got the ball in the three-point line, I thought he was going to let it rip. Passed it out, got it back, stepped on the sideline there, and then the Cavs decided, should we challenge that? Did he step out of bounds? Which was very funny. Always funny to watch players look at the video screen. Did he step out of bounds? You see Evan Mobley in his distressed denim jacket looking up. That was just an odd ending to a team, which I thought really, really fought hard, again, without Donovan Mitchell, without a bunch of guys. So just an up and down game here for a Suns team, I guess, was looking at the calendar a little bit. We were playing Boston on Thursday. Can't wait for that. But all in all, I think they look good. They need all these games to play together before the postseason.
What do you think of the Suns win here?
It's such a pleasant surprise when all three of Beal, Booker, and Durant are out there. You're like, what? What? All three?
Yeah.
And then they look unstoppable at times. That third quarter, Kevin Durant scored 19 points. He got three straight threes on the exact same play. And it was an impossible to guard play. On the right wing, you got Booker running a pick and roll with whoever the center is. It was Nurkic, and then it was Eubanks. In the corners, you've got Grayson Allen, Beal, or Royce O'Neal. Those guys go 40% from three from the corner for Brad Beal, 48% for three from the corner, Grayson Allen. And Royce O'Neal, he's only been in Phoenix for a few games. He's shooting 53% from the corner. Kevin Durant is standing on the left wing.
Jeez.
Literally, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Beal or Booker starts initiating the play. As soon as the role guy starts going in, I think it was Isaiah Mobley was guarding Durant for a lot of these. He would go to tag the role guy, the center, because you can't just let him rumble down the lane unimpeded. As soon as that guy would dive, Booker gets the ball out of his hands to Durant for a wide open three. You can't leave Kevin Durant wide open from three. Who are you supposed to leave open? In the playoffs? Probably the center. It's only 2 points.
Yeah, yeah.
You're taking your chances with Nurkic or Eubanks, but couldn't do it last night. He hit three straight. It was over. Basically, then I thought the tide had really turned. Obviously, it came down into the fourth quarter. Garland, I thought, had a great game. His shooting kept him in it, but I kind of put both of those turnovers at the end on Garland. The lob was too ambitious, I think. They had run the clock down. It was great to even get any sort of a look, but he threw it so high, and then no reason to pass it to Okoro in the corner there, considering how much Garland had been scoring earlier on. But, you know, that was just a case of the Suns actually having their guys executing pretty well, and the Cavs came up just a bit short.
Yeah, Devin Booker coming back from that right ankle sprain. I thought he looked awesome for all the reasons you're talking about. Also chipped in 27 points. Early in the third quarter there, too, he hit the offensive glass, sort of helped the Suns cut a deficit to three. Again, early, forced the Cavs timeout where he just kept rebounding the ball. It started with a Nurkic missed free throw. Booker got it, threw it to Grayson Allen. He missed a three. Booker got it again, swung it to KD. He missed a three, and Booker grabbed it for the third time. And he's like, you know what? I might as well shoot this one. And he banked home the little jumper there. So yeah, putting in some effort. I just thought he looked really good again coming back from the ankle injury. And this is a big win for the Suns when you look at this four-game road trip here, because it's sort of, well, it's difficult. They're taking on two of the top teams in the East. They've got the Celtics on Thursday, like you said, Tass. Okay, then they play the Hornets on Friday. Back-to-back situation. Maybe you overlook it. You never know. And then they play the Suns. Excuse me. They play on Sunday in Milwaukee. So good to get this one. At the very least, you're probably splitting the road trip, but you know you're going to have hopes that they can take one, if not both of those, against two good teams in Boston, in Milwaukee. But good way to start the trip in a close victory over a depleted Cavs team.
Yeah, and Booker obviously looked awesome. It's good not only for those big three to play together, and Booker, Beal, and Durant, but also to play with Royce O'Neal, who just came over in a trade. They just need reps together. That's 100% the fact. You mentioned Nurkic fasting because he observes Ramadan. He looked just a little tired from the free throw line. Missed free throws, 1 for 6. What's up with that? Wow. What's up with that, Nurk? Yeah. Usually he's great. I find interesting, as you said, Eubanks, the backup center. They got Thaddeus Young. He's around. He's the locker room guy, but he is the bio guy. I wonder if he takes some Eubanks minutes as we get towards the end. Donovan Mitchell, it's official now. He won't be an All-NBA player.
Yeah, that's right. He sat again with knee soreness, so as a result, no longer eligible for All-NBA, even if he plays every game from here on out. That one will be really glaring, especially if he's just missing the cut and is in the 60s. You know, it's one thing, like Embiid's missed a good chunk of time now. He was dominant when he played, but, you know, he's missed a whole bunch of the season. Yeah, Mitchell might finish with 60 to 65 games played and not considered one of the 15 best players this year. That'll be a little weird.
Yeah, especially if you watched him play, because he was awesome. He was a top five MVP candidate when they went on their big win streak. But one guy who could show up on some award ballots, I think, is Caris LeVert. He actually got a start last night, just his third start of the season, though. Went for 17 points, 11 assists, added 6 rebounds. He's 14 a game off the bench, 5 assists a game off a bench. That's third in scoring, third in assists. Like, he's got to be one of the top five guys. It's Monk. And it's Norm Powell, I think, is in the mix. Yeah. Naz Reid, you're probably your top three. Then after that, I think he's right there with Bobby Portis, probably a little bit ahead of Tim Hardaway Jr. Caris LeVert, he's had a great season.
Yeah, for sure. All right, moving on. Let's go to Jokic, his 21st triple-double to rally the Nuggets past the also-depleted Toronto Raptors, missing a ton of guys. But Denver gets the win, 125-119. Despite the Raps being up, 22 at the half, even 21 in the third quarter. And then Jokic said, okay, that's enough. He went for, in the third quarter, just the third quarter, 19-4-4 with 4 steals, a block, and 0 turnovers in the third quarter. That was Jokic. And then Jamal Murray sort of took over in the fourth quarter, scored 12 of his 26. Had a beautiful jumping pocket pass at one point in this game, too. It was a fun highlight, but you know, they played around with their food a little bit for the first half. The Nuggets did, and sort of dominated the second half. Good fight from the Raps, missing a bunch of guys. But Denver's at this point where they can sort of win a game just by playing, I don't know, 20 good minutes of basketball.
They flipped the switch.
Yeah.
They were one of the teams that helped invent first half leads are fake, because once upon a time, Jamal Murray was asked, you guys were down by 20 at the end of the halftime. He's like,
so
halftime? Like, he literally didn't care, and that's what happened in this game. The Nuggets took away the Raptors' fast break. That was a big thing. Part of that was turnovers. 8 turnovers in the first half for Denver. Only 1 in the second half. And then you mentioned Jokic just making so many defensive plays. 4 steals, 2 blocks in the second half. And that just turned into easy offense for Denver. It looked like a completely different game in the second half because the Nuggets gave it their all. They are the best clutch defense in the league this season. And this wasn't an entire clutch game the second half, but no. That's what it felt like. It's like, okay, now we got to play. Let's do it.
Yeah.
It happens to championship teams for sure, and it happens to this team. They decide when to turn it on, and they decide to turn it on in the third quarter. Moral victories are baloney. However, I am saying this is a moral victory for the Toronto Raptors. They're without three of their stars. We call them four, really. No Barnes, no Poeltl, no Quickley, no Gary Trent. You got Ochai Agbaji starting. You got Jonte Porter getting a lot of minutes playing against his bro in Michael Porter. First time they played in the same game. He had four threes in this game. He played great. Shooting like bro. But, yeah, Jokic just turned it on. You said four steals in that quarter. He just really was able to get those steals because he was just putting his hands up.
Yeah.
Like, he was just literally not moving a lot. Just pop. It was a deflection, steal, and, yeah, they turned it on. Good night.
Jokic, 35 points, 17 boards, 12 assists. Denver's 9-1 since the All-Star break. And I thought about this yesterday when we were talking about SGA and how dominant he's been, how consistent he's been, you know, and how he's in the MVP conversation. But it feels like Jokic really did just, like, wrap up his third MVP after the All-Star break, right? Where he had those three just, you know, monster games. And then really over this 10-game stretch, he's just like, no, I'm still the best basketball player in the league. I will win my third one now. And SGA will get votes and whatever. Tatum might get some and Luka and Giannis. But, I mean, I think we all agree it's going to be going to Jokic for the third time, which is, you know, joins a very short list of guys in NBA history.
It feels like even if he decides to tank away the end of the season like he did last year, probably would still win it. For me, it was over after the Celtics game, that huge performance there. You mentioned 9-1 after the All-Star break. Their one loss was in overtime.
Yeah.
But Jokic missed the game winner, so... Do you hold it against them?
maybe yeah. Knock them there a little bit.
And what seat are they playing for? Because they aren't going to visit the White House. The reports were it's because they want to win the one seed. Yesterday, Michael Malone said that report is untrue. We're not trying to play for the one seed. So what seat are they going for? Are they going to rest Jokic? is my question towards the end. Could that help out somebody else? I don't know. Yeah, it is strange to just think Jokic is going to win three MVPs in four seasons. Just like that.
Yeah.
But he obviously deserves it. And... He does take his days off to have some fun. I saw this Jokic joke. He was asked by a reporter.
Was it Matt Moore?
No, unfortunately not. That would have just peeved off Jokic. Jokic doesn't like those tough questions. He got this question. What's your favorite dinosaur? Because I saw you went and saw the dinosaurs.
Oh.
And he said, I don't remember names of dinosaurs. I don't know. The one that eats the grass. And the person said... So the Brontosaurus? And he said, I guess. I don't know. That's it. Done. Interview done. That's how he answers those questions. Just get away from me, please, the interviewer.
Okay. My other note from this game, just for the Canadian sickos out there, we had Jamal Murray, RJ Barrett, and Kelly Olynyk all starting. That could be 3/5 of Canada's starting lineup in Paris this summer if Jamal Murray does play and, you know, decides not to take it off if the Nuggets go and win a championship again or all that, or he's playing in June. So that was fun. And I saw Josh Lewenberg write this about RJ Barrett. You know, I thought it was a good point. With four starters out, it could have been very easy for that fifth starter, RJ Barrett, to just come in with the empty the clip approach. Just shoot away, boy. Instead, he didn't. He played a really good game. He was facilitating. He shot 10 of 20. He got to the line a little bit, went perfect there. But he tied his career high with 9 assists. So that was nice to see. And he's playing with a bunch of, like, you know, second unit guys and guys that have been called up. That was just good stuff from RJ Barrett. It's in a loss. You know, there's going to be a lot of losses from here on out for the Raps. But I thought he played well, sort of as their main guy against a good Nuggets team.
Yeah, you look at the Raptors starters and you think, Bruce Brown, you just won a freaking title. Maybe you're going to start, you know, emptying the clip. They didn't. They all played like a team. Ochai Agbaji, same thing. Game after game after game. Now starting after that that game he shot 20 times. That didn't work out too well. So they just, I guess he slowed it down. But yeah, RJ Barrett could have. He could have let it go.
All right. We also had Kuminga, Klay Thompson doing their part, helping the Warriors rebound to upend the Spurs 112-102. Any takeaways from this one, TK?
Literally the only takeaway I have from this is Trayce Jackson-Davis dunked on Victor Wembanyama. I call it a dunk because he went for it. Yes, his fingers may not touch the rim. Perhaps it's a thrunk, but it was nice.
Yeah.
He said, if I get a chance, I'm going to try and throw it down on him, which is funny because the three or four possessions beforehand, he was catching the ball, seeing Wemby. He's like, I'm not. Not right now. Not for me. But then he gets him, catches it up top, hits him with a little spin move, has... maybe a half step on him, but went up for the elevation, dunked it. I don't know who it was on the sideline for the Warriors that died. Pajemski, maybe?
Yeah.
I think collapsed after the dunk, but that was awesome to see from Trayce Jackson-Davis, and he had so many dunks in this game. He's been great for the Warriors, and most importantly, I think, is that he's been playing so well that Kevon Looney has actually got a chance to rest. He's only played 75 minutes since the All-Star break, less than 200 since February 1st. That guy was looking tired and slow at the beginning of the season. But if the Warriors are hoping to make any sort of a run, they're going to need TJD and they're going to need Looney's physicality come playoff time as well. So good stuff from the Warriors to actually get something out of their young guys, because Trayce Jackson-Davis, he's just got good chemistry with whoever happens to be running the pick and roll.
That is for sure. And yeah, you're right. They will need Looney to throw a body out there against Jokic if it does happen that the Mavs play, or excuse me, the Nuggets play the Warriors. That could happen.
Yeah,
I'm starting to look at those potential playoff matchups for sure. Trayce Jackson-Davis, that dunk. I think Lester Quiñones also fainted.
Sure.
They're great. Everybody's just good at just fainting on the sideline when a guy makes a play.
I mean, a play that happened in, like, what, the 47th minute of this game, too? Yeah. It wasn't first quarter, you know, thrunk or dunk or whatever we're calling it. That's poster. It was late in this game. It was a big bucket, honestly. Sort of iced it.
He did. So he threw it down with his left because he's left-handed. He did hold the arm of Wembanyama off with his right hand, as you should. As you should, because the guy is 7'5". Like, he just kind of held it off as he thrunked it. But sort of, Jalen Green kind of did that yesterday when he had that monster dunk, or 2 days ago. You know, you throw a chicken arm at the guy trying to block you a little bit. That's allowed. That's legal. But Wemby can just literally just stand there and block you. So you kind of have to hit the wrist of him as he gets a little close.
Look, you know you've made it as a superstar, like Wembanyama already has, when the takeaway from this game and every headline and every clip is TJD dunking on him, because it's a big deal. Because this guy's the best shot blocker probably in the NBA already at his age, and is going to get some Defensive Player of the Year consideration. Don't think he'll win it, but he'll get some votes, and he'll win probably 3, 4, 5 of these moving forward in his career. So, you know, he's already there. That's a good sign. And he's going to try. That's the other part, as he should when you're 7'4". This is going to happen, is the point. Mm-hmm. He's going to be on posters. Dikembe was on a ton of posters through his career. He was also one of the best shot blockers ever. So kudos to him. And what a play. It was an awesome play, taking him off the dribble. And yeah, he, you know, Wemby actually probably dunks it because his arm length is so damn long, but TJD's being where he was, he sort of had to thrunk it in. That just means he was up there. He was high. A thrunk is a dunk. A dunk is a thrunk. It's all the same to us here on No Dunks.
I thought he watched it, actually, when he was doing his post-game interview. We kind of complained about Jamal Murray watching his MMA fight while being interviewed. He was watching the UFC.
Yeah.
Not his MMA fight. Watching the UFC.
That would be allowed.
That would be allowed, I guess.
Yeah. Just running the tape back.
But he was watching his own highlight, you think?
No, well, he should have. I don't think he was. But if he should have pulled a Jamal Murray and just watch it on a phone. Why the heck not?
Other games last night, a lot of blowouts. Let me chuck them at you here. Cade Cunningham, 22 points, helping the Pistons. Pistons beat Trey Kirby's Hornets 114-97. The Pistons took the 3-game season series from the Hornets. So good for Detroit there. But that's huge because that ties Tass's Pistons with my Wizards there with the same record right now. So that's big. We also had Jaylen Brown and Tatum doing their thing. Celtics crushed Portland 121-99. And then Luka had 27, but his 30-point triple-double streak ends. The Bulls stopped it because the Mavericks were dominating them, and he sat for a good chunk of the fourth, but 127-92 was the final score there. You want to touch on any of those results?
Mavericks-Bulls was kind of fun.
Yeah, sure.
That's one way to put it. If you're a Mavs fan, it was.
Yeah. It was, that score was pretty gross early on in that game.
I haven't seen every game the Mavs have played, but that first quarter was the best quarter I've seen them play the entire season. They didn't score on their first possession. Somehow went 0 for 2 on 2 threes. Of course, they got the offensive rebound. Then the Mavs went on to score on 19 of their next 22 possessions.
Wow.
They scored 44 in the first quarter. The Bulls scored 42 in the first half. Luka had 15 points and 7 assists in the first quarter. It was insane, man. He was doing literally everything. That was actually fun to watch, just how much he was destroying the Bulls. The Bulls are tiny right now. They start Caruso, Kobe White, and Ayo Dosunmu. Their power forward right now is DeMar DeRozan, so anytime they were trying to double Luka, he would just throw it over the top, right. Which is why Daniel Gafford went 9-for-9. He's made 28 straight shots in a row. Derek Lively went 11-for-12. Sucker. Missed one. Probably grabbed the offensive rebound and put it back in. You would think the Bulls maybe would be able to score. The Mavs have been pretty bad on defense. Bulls got a lot of good looks, but they went 7-for-34 from three, and 30 of those were considered open or wide open. It just was not going in, and the Mavs were making everything because Luka was magical.
And hey, galaxy brain thinking here from the Bulls, snapping Luka's you know, NBA record streak of 30-point triple-doubles. Only got to 27 points because he exited the blowout midway through the fourth. Yeah. Good thinking there, so Bulls. It's not going to happen on you. But yeah, obviously continuing to dominate.
Yeah, the Gafford thing where Luka would just find him way above the rim. Obviously, that would happen over and over and over again in this game. I think he should just keep doing it because, as you said, he's at 28 consecutive made shots. He's nearing the NBA record.
That's right. He is seven shy of Wilt Chamberlain's record of 35 in a row back in like 1967. So yeah. Can Gafford
summer
do
of
it
love.
Here? That's right. Gafford has made 28 shots. I mean, I know a lot of them are around the rim. Luka's finding them. They're dunks, but still, you know, you botch the odd little gimme every once in a while, or even a tip or something like that that you get credited with the shot. But perfect right now over the last four games. 28-for-28.
Warriors up next.
I think the streak ends.
I think it's coming to an end. They play the pick and roll a little better.
Mm-hmm. Well,
some athletic guys.
It's a funny streak when you think about it, because in theory, he could keep the streak going if he really wanted to. Just never shoot unless you're dunking the ball. You're going to get called out, I assume, from your players and your coach and maybe your fans if you're, you know, doing the old Ben Simmons thing where you're passing it when you probably should be shooting it. But, you know, he could.
Yeah.
He could go for it.
I think maybe that's what Wilt did, because the streak was from February 17th to February 28th. 11 days for Wilt Chamberlain to take 35 shots? How many games is that? Were they just not passing it to him too much? I mean, the guy used to score 50 points a game.
Yeah,
it is at some point in his career where he's like 30 plus. Anyways, I'm not going to evaluate that. Either way, here's another fun stat. Lively and Gafford combined 20-for-21.
Yep.
First pair to score 20 or more while combining to shoot 95% or better. That's a good one. Since who?
It's an insane one.
It's a ridiculous one.
Yeah, it's Nate Robinson and then a big
Wilson Chandler.
Yes, that's right. Yes, yeah. That's Wilson a Chandler? Weird one.
That's
pretty
sad.
Impressive for two, you know, not bigs.
Yeah,
These guys are literally Lively and Gafford are just catching lobs or getting offensive rebounds. I'm assuming that Nate Robinson and Wilson Chandler were creating some of their shots.
Yeah, that's very impressive.
And just to confirm, Derek Lively did get the tip in on his
he
one
did.
Miss.
Okay.
Nice.
Good for him.
Very cool.
All right. Good win there from the Mavericks. And congrats to your Pistons, too. That's big. That's big for the Net Dust Bowl. We're tied. I mean, the Hornets are still within striking distance.
It's getting scarier. Yep, I'll tell you that much. They've five games with like 18 left, something like that. Maybe a few fewer. What have they played? 64 games for both Washington and Detroit. It's going
to
be tight.
It was losing to our teams has helped make this a little more intriguing. But, okay, keep your eye on that. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got a whole bunch of news. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, still here in the Classic Factory. Got a bunch of news for you guys. And the first one here, it's good news. I think we would all agree. According to Woj, Rocket center Alperen Şengün escaped serious injury to his lower right leg. Now, he did still suffer a severely sprained ankle and a bruised knee. But Şengün hasn't been ruled out for the remainder of the season, though this could take a while to heal, so maybe he doesn't play. But still, nothing that's going to require surgery for Şengün. Obviously, we were a little worried when he got wheeled off in the wheelchair, and it looked bad, and we're like, is it the ankles or the knee? Is it both?
Is it both?
Yeah. So, yeah, MRIs revealed his injuries do not require surgery, so that's good.
Fantastic news for this man. Year three has been really, really, really good, period. And it just looks so scary at the end of a game, minute left, he's going back to just play defense in a game where he's played awesome, and this team's going to win. And it looked like something severe on a wheelchair where he said, you know, and I quote in Turkish, no, I'm not really quoting, but he did say, I'm effed up. He said, I'm effed up. Yeah. So we literally, when you're out on a wheelchair, you think it's legitimately effed up, but it was not. I mean, obviously this is
severely sprained.
So something, that could keep him out for a long period of time. And the Rockets likely weren't playing for anything really at the 11th seed. Unlikely anyway.
What do you think about this?
Yeah, I wonder if we'll see him again just by the end of the year. We got 4 weeks and 5 days until the end of the Rockets season. A badly sprained ankle, that could easily keep you out 4 weeks. But it'd be cool to see him just to be like, that wasn't the last moment we saw from Şengün during his best season that he's had so far. Tari Eason is out for the season already for the Rockets, so I guess we're just getting more Jabari Smith and Cam Whitmore.
Right. Şengün averaging 21 points per game, 9.3 boards, 5 assists, shooting 53%. Really good year. Now, if he doesn't play any of these games from the rest of the season, he will finish with 63 games played. You know, I bring that up because I don't think he was going to win any of these major awards. Probably maybe some most improved love. You had mentioned TK. I agree with that. I don't think he was going to crack all NBA yet, you know, as a top 15 player. But if he doesn't play, he couldn't even make it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of guys on these lists where they won't hit 65 games.
That's a really stupid question, but he can't win if he plays fewer than 65 games. But can you vote for him anyways just to have him on the vote?
That's a good question.
I think it's unlikely. Think so. Yeah. It would be good to have him on there because this has been his best year. He has improved.
Oh, so you're saying just, for most just, improved. Yeah, yeah, most yeah. Just to see his name on the list.
Just to get the votes on there. Because I was a sicko, and I did see a player that we're going to talk about very soon when we talk about Kobe's statue, that he got some most improved player votes a long time ago. And I said, wow, that's phenomenal that man got it.
Okay.
So can't wait to talk about
what
him.
What a tease. I can't wait to figure out who you're talking about. All right, well, next piece of news. Not as fortunate when it comes to the injury here. The Atlanta Hawks roster, it's going to be thinned even more as the team pushes for a play-in spot. Forward Sadiq Bey out for the rest of the season after suffering a torn ACL in his left knee. The team announced this yesterday. He was injured in the fourth quarter of Sunday's loss to the Pelicans. So Sadiq Bey out, TK, for the season with this torn ACL. He played in a lot of games, played in 63 games, started 51, you know, played all right for the Hawks here, but he will be gone for the season.
The Hawks' best run, I think, this season was when Sadiq Bey first went into the starting lineup for DeAndre Hunter, but you're right, they are completely banged up right now. We know Trey is out, Jalen Johnson is out, Onyeka Okongwu is out, and now Sadiq Bey. That's four of their top seven guys. At the worst, Kobe Bufkin, he's out right now too, a first rounder that they would probably like to get some time here to develop at the end of the season. Also, bad timing for Sadiq Bey. The guy's going to be a restricted free agent this summer. The timing of his injury and recovery, it means like maybe he's back towards the end of next year. He's got a $6.5 million qualifying offer for next season that I assume the Hawks will offer him. And I don't know if he's going to get another deal
right this
summer just because nobody's going to be able to count on him heading forward next year. So maybe he comes back to the Hawks, plays it out, and then enters unrestricted free agency next summer. But yeah, sucks for him. I think DeAndre Hunter probably just moves back into the starting lineup. He's been playing okay recently.
Very odd rotations there in Atlanta. I don't know what Landry Fields and Kyle Korver are going to do because they paid so much for DeAndre Hunter. And not them specifically, but this team has paid a lot for DeAndre Hunter. So as such a bad defensive team, you'd think you'd get DeAndre Hunter over and over and over and over again in that starting lineup. They've gone to Sadiq Bey. Quinn Snyder loves him, but this is him at the end of his rookie deal. 4 years into his NBA career, you have the restricted free agent offer. I assume that's what would happen. It is odd to see such a fairly good three-point shooter. Actually, I was going to say such a good three-point shooter, but it's probably a little bit better than I perceive it to be, a lot better than it is, but he's sort of, you know, average over his career.
Yeah. But Streaky Siddiqui.
Yes, Streaky Siddiqui. He's a guy that can hit eight in a game, but yeah, can go ice
Streaky
cold.
Streaky Siddiqui, yes, he can. When I saw 31%, I was like, this season, I was surprised by that. Because, yeah, he can light it up. He's the 50-point guy.
You sort of blew my mind when you said he was coming up to the end of his rookie deal. It feels like this guy's been in the league for way longer. He's only 24 years old. So that sort of surprised me. But, it sucks for him, especially with the contract situation. I will say, one thing I've been watching with the Hawks since Trae Young went out with the left-hand surgery there, they're 5-3 since he left the lineup, and they're playing defense. They rank fifth defensively in the league over that 8-game stretch without Trae Young. So that's something. That's better.
That's better.
And basically dead last, which they were for most of the season. So, you know, they're holding on to the play-in spot. You know, the Nets are, they're there. They're within striking distance.
3.5 games.
It feels like the Hawks should be in it. Now, I don't think anyone will be picking them to fight their way out of the play-in again like they did last year. I don't think I will be, but they'll play the Bulls, and then they'll have to,
that 9-10
whoever
matchup,
wins that
yes.
will have to play the loser of the 7-8. But again, if they play some defense, there's something there. But yeah, they're banged up. A lot of their guys.
Could it be Skyhawks time? Krejci going crazy.
Krejci going
crazy. Let's see what Mo Gay's up to.
Oh, let's go.
Mo Gay, baby.
It's time.
Oh, I wish Bufkin wasn't injured. Yeah, he's in a walking boot because of that toe. Yeah. Because you're right. Here's a perfect opportunity. Games sort of still matter to them and give them an opportunity. But
shots to be had.
Yep. But he is out as well. All right. Next piece of news here. Otto Porter Jr. Otto Man. The number 3 pick in the 2013 draft and a member of Golden State's 2022 championship team. He announced his retirement after 11 NBA seasons. Otto Porter. He's only 30 years old.
Yeah.
Finishing his career with averages of basically 10 points, 5 boards in over 500 games, played for Washington, where he was drafted, Chicago, Orlando, Golden State, and then finally Toronto. He made his way to Utah, but never played for them. Were you surprised by this Otto Porter Jr. news here?
For sure. He's barely played the last two seasons just because of the injuries. It was cool to see him get that Warriors championship ring earlier this year. It was a long time coming because, they won in 2022, but he only got it in 2024 just because of the matchups. But he played for that team and started in the finals because they wanted a three-point shooter. It's something that I think about. Like, he could have been more. I know he was drafted third in Washington, and people expected him to be a lot, and he signed a big deal to play beside Beal and John Wall way back when. But he could have been more. And obviously injuries have slowed him down. But all in all, a good career for him.
Thoughts on Otto?
Yeah, it seems like he basically hasn't been healthy for his entire career. I went back and was checking his Wikipedia page. He missed like the first 14 games of his rookie season with an injury. And then once the back went, it was kind of just trying to manage it and stay healthy. And it just worked perfectly that he was able to play during that 22 season with the Warriors. I saw John Hollinger tweeting, he started the last 3 games of the 22 finals. Since then, he's played 23 games and has 3 starts since. That's what his Bulls tenure was. He played 1 full season, 2 half seasons there in Chicago, 54 games. Just could not stay on the court. But he's obviously a talented player, could shoot threes, could rebound, and that's why when it all clicked and he was healthy, it was exactly what the Warriors needed. But it just shows you how much lightning in a bottle you have to catch to win a championship. Yep. Getting 63 games out of Otto Porter when he hasn't been able to play since, it was worth it.
Yeah. He was frequently hampered by injuries with, your Bulls and the Magic and stuff like that. You go back and look at the 2013 NBA draft, too. Whew. It's a weird one. Obviously, Giannis goes 15th. He's the gem in that draft. But number 1, Anthony Bennett.
Yeah, baby.
Number 2, Victor Oladipo. 3, Otto Porter Jr. 4, Cody Zeller, come and rescue me. 5, Alex Len. 6, Nerlens Noel. 7, Ben McLemore. 8, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. 9, Trey Burke. And 10, I guess you could say the best player from the top 10,
Michael Carter-Williams?
C.J. McCollum. Michael Carter-Williams went 11th later, to Philadelphia. Oh, yeah.
C.J. McCollum, 10.
Yeah. Oh. What a weird draft. That's a rough draft, top 10.
Like, Alex Len is probably the second best player in that top 10. He's still going, man.
But Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I get.
Oh, yeah.
I'd go C.J., right, KCP, and then
only Len because of longevity.
Yeah.
No one stole his sunshine.
Yeah, that's crazy. nice. Anyway, Otto Porter Jr. It's good he got the title. Good for him. And, you know, he even said that. He was also, he shot 40%, basically, if you round up, 39.7% from three in his career. Ranked 61st in NBA history. That's not bad.
Not bad at all.
Not bad at all.
Just, and had a legendary low light.
Oh, when
his controller came unplugged and he was just standing in the corner looking around for whatever Chicago Bull he used to be guarding.
That is that's an iconic Shaq in a Fool moment. Definitely. Right there where he's just frozen. It's like, plug it back in, man. All right, next piece of news here. I guess it's news. According to the Twitter account, SRavinNBA, free throw attempts are down. You can see the data here on YouTube. We're showing you this graph. You may have to squint a little bit, but that's okay. Sharp drop in offense after January 31st, and the main reason seems to be due to the less shooting fouls. So just it's being called less, or at least, you know, less trips to the line. In fact, all except two teams, the Bulls and Rockets, have lower free throw attempts after January 31st than before. I don't know, just worth noting here because it's something we talked about. Maybe the officials are starting to let them play a little bit, a little playoff basketball. You got to really earn it. But yeah, any thoughts on this? That was a good stuff there from this Twitter account.
Yes, I definitely think that's what it is, in that they just want to see offense numbers a little bit lower. I think if Rudy Gobert, as he thinks that there could be a referee gambling situation, what really happened was that what definitely happened is that front office talked to the referees and said, let's lower this number that everybody shoots at, everybody scores at. So I think
so
that's what it is.
Let the defense play.
Yeah,
let
the defense
contact
play.
Happen.
Yeah,
you don't have to call a foul every time either someone goes down or there's contact in the offensive player initiating it. Make them earn it. Yeah.
That's the thing that has 100% changed. Yeah. The drives where the offense leans in to clear space and then goes up, those are not fouls anymore. It happened a ton of times in the Bulls-Mavericks game on both sides last night. Classic move. You're trying to just clear a little space early in the season. That's free throws. And now it is not free throws, but it does make you think. If the league can change it just like that, I don't know. I don't know, Skeets. Literally one call and they're like, look, scoring is down.
Right.
Could they do that every game? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they have a huge impact. You're saying officials have a huge impact on, obviously, the result of the game in terms of how they call the game. Uh-huh. Yes. Absolutely. Mm. So hit the under. Smash the under.
Apparently the sharps are already on.
Ah, damn it! All right. Final piece of news here.
Sharps.
The NBA opened its exclusive media rights negotiations with Disney and Turner over the weekend. So this window is going to run through April 22nd. Sources told the Sports Business Journal, a guy named Tom Friend, shout out to MySpace, that they believe the three sides entered talks roughly 75% in agreement on a deal based on their preliminary discussions over the past few months. But the window is open. And I will add here that the SBJ sources expect the NBA Cup, right, you know, a.k.a. the in-season tournament, to be bundled into the Disney and Turner packages after there were early expectations that a streaming entity like Apple or Netflix might try and get that entire event, or maybe even the Final Four. But it's sounding from the Sports Business Journal that that'll be split somehow with Disney and Turner, but we'll wait to find out. But any thoughts on this, either of you guys?
I think you're going to have a lot of subscriptions because, like you're saying, even though the in-season tournament's likely getting rolled into this linear deal here, it's also mentioned in the Sports Business Journal that Amazon is trying to get in on national streaming rights and that Apple is likely to bid for the play-in tournament and NBC is somehow still in the mix as well.
Basketball. That's fun.
Yeah, but that means you got to have five services to keep track of. It's going to be harder to find games.
Yeah.
This is true, especially when it comes to play-in tournaments or the in-season tournament. This might be just be for one dedicated network or device. So, yeah, that's totally true. And this informed me that, as you said, about the Emirates In-season tournament? The Emirates NBA Cup. Yes. That's what it's called from now on. Also, the play-in tournament is called the SoFi NBA play-in tournament. SoFi.
Yeah.
SoFi.
I always had to know that until I saw this.
Yeah,
yeah, I didn't know that either. It slipped it by us, I thought.
I had no idea. So, yeah, this
we don't have to call it that.
Yeah, well, I know.
You don't have to that's be a shill to them. They don't pay us.
The stadium in L.A., it's called the SoFi.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it must be Fi. SoFi. Yeah. It's that investment company is what it is. But, yeah, they sold it, baby.
You never say, oh, the YouTube NBA Finals. Because I think they have it, right?
YouTube
I
mean, TV be, definitely or at least was they used sponsor to, for YouTube a while, TV, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know.
I don't call it the Kia MVP either.
Oh, good. You shouldn't.
No, I shouldn't.
Do you call it the Sprite Slam Dunk Contest? Do they still call it that? No, Starry.
No, that's
Starry like three-point contest. Who had the dunk contest?
AT&T, which is weird because they used to have the three-point shootout. Yeah, I think it was AT&T.
Long distance.
Yeah. Mm. I think. Taco Bell had the skills.
Why are they calling them long distance in the dunk contest?
I know, man. It. I'm telling you. I'm pretty sure. So anyway, we'll wait to see how this goes. Yeah, the NBC expected to gain a portion of the NBA's linear broadcast package. That is fun. We're gonna get the NBA on NBC music back. They'd be insane not
to. They have to.
Of course they would. Yeah. Like, you should just go retro with it all. They should. They should lean into that. But you guys are right. It's gonna be like, all right, the big games this week. On Monday night it's on NBC, and on Tuesday night it's on back on Turner, and then on Wednesday night it's ESPN/Disney. And I guess that's the way it's gonna be with a lot of this stuff. No real different than some of these games in the NFL, like, oh, it's only Amazon exclusive, this one playoff game and stuff like that. But they're going to get paid. Says the deal's going to be worth between $60 and $72 billion. This entire thing, that's what they're expecting in the NBA media rights deal, which is 2.5 to 3 times larger than the previous arrangement in 2014.
Well, that's good for contract numbers and good for Keith Parrish at Fast Break Breakfast. I saw yesterday was like the start of NFL free agency.
Right.
And anytime an NFL player would sign a huge deal, he'd be like, wow, that's Paul Reed money. Saquon Barkley, like one of the biggest names in the NFL. He signed for Paul Reed money yesterday.
Wow.
Wrong sport.
What about Kirk Cousins? He signed for a big old fat paycheck, didn't he?
Yeah, you said made what? He's going to be $330 million.
He's
going to
be $300 million plus in his career. Yeah.
That's Jaylen Brown money.
Yeah, yeah. And he's only won one playoff game, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, Jaylen's won a lot more.
Hell yeah.
And made a lot more.
Yeah. Wow. It's incredible.
And you don't get concussions playing basketball as often.
Right, right. Tyrese Maxey expected.
That's right. He's
expected
cleared.
Back tonight, yep. I think. Yeah.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter.
What do you got?
I've got a tweet here from at Dre Voigt, a German basketball journalist who caused a ruckus yesterday on the internet when he revealed that the Kobe Bryant statue outside of the Crypto Center has a lot of spelling mistakes on it, including most notably Jose Calderson,
okay.
Vom Wafer, and an incorrectly spelled coach's decision rather than D-E-C-I-S-I-O-N, correct? It's spelled D-E-C-I-C-I-O-N.
Yeah.
Apparently the Lakers have known about this for a while, they say, and they're getting it changed. I don't know how. Probably some sandblasting will be in effect here, but we were dying laughing at this, and I cannot stop thinking about Vom Wafer.
That's your favorite of the bunch?
Vom Wafer is so good to me. It reminds me of those tweets that went around back in the day of a Japanese baseball game that had to come up with a bunch of fake American names, and they came up with, like, Leave McDykel. Vom Wafer, man. How would you like to be one of the guys who didn't play that game? And you did not play coach's decision.
Is on
is enshrined
it.
There forever.
Yeah, it's a weird. I mean, I get it because it's the 81-point game. But it is weird that these other guys' names. Like, I saw somebody taking offense that Smush Parker's name is on Kobe Bryant's statue. And I was like, yeah, when you put it that way, it's a little odd.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they need a copy editor. They slipped the slip through the cracks. Literally, in some sense, there with the statue. It's sort of a crack, isn't it? Chip, chip, a little chisel. Slip through the chisel.
Slip through the chisel.
Yeah, but what did you think of this?
Well, where did they get that spelling from? Like, was it misspelled in a box score somewhere?
Right, does Basketball Reference have this wrong? Yeah, I know.
No, Basketball Reference knows how to spell Vaughn Wafer. Yeah. And not, he ain't vomiting. That's so odd.
That's gotta be just a keystroke error. So whoever took the Basketball Reference and then redid it, you know, M right by the end there, just hit it. Jose Calderson.
Where did the S come from?
Well, I mean, that one at least it's like, I don't know, somebody just Calderson. Thought they knew how to spell it, it feels like.
Yeah, like a Calderon could be like a Johnson, Williamson, you know, I just throw an S over there, Calderson.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's sort of, okay. Vom is really weird, and decision's just spelled wrong.
Yeah, that one's,
that one's off. Yeah. That one is definitely off. It does look like the box scores that get printed off at a game that they hand the announcers. Mm,
totally.
Like, it looks exactly right.
Yeah.
They got the font perfect. They just threw in a Vom Wafer on purpose. Really.
And so what was this tease you were talking about earlier on?
Yeah, not that great a tease, Vom Wafer was voted. He was 10th in the voting, but he was voted for most improved player.
Wow.
When he was with the Houston Rockets.
He got one vote, I assume?
No, he got more than one vote. He was voted twice as the most improved player winner. And he got 12
like total.
He got two first place votes?
Yeah, there were some really weird ones that year.
Don't call me Vom Wafer.
Vom Wafer.
Jeez. Yes, I don't want to make you vomit here, but I'll tell you
amazing.
I'll tell you all the names that got first place votes.
Okay, what year
Danny
is this?
Granger won it.
Oh, okay.
This is
he was good that year.
2009-2010, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, I don't want to scroll because I'm scared, but I do think it's Granger, then Devin Harris, then Kevin Durant. In year number two of his.
Okay.
How is that possible?
Yeah.
He did get better.
Yeah. Paul Millsap, Nene, Rajon Rondo, David Lee, John Sammons, Thaddeus Young, Vaughn Wafer, Brandon Roy, Chris Anderson, J.R. Smith, Wilson Chandler, Glenn Big Baby Davis,
jeez,
Jason Terry, all received first place votes. And then a bunch of guys, Aaron Brooks, Jameer Nelson, LaMarcus Aldridge, Kalene Azubuike, Roger Mason, Dwayne
Holy
Wade, Ronnie
crap.
Brewer, Luis Scola, and J.J. Barea all got votes.
Wow.
That was a whole bunch of, what about this guy? That was fun.
That's some great names. Thaddeus Young is still going, man. That's amazing.
How is that possible? That was 2008-2009, actually. That was Kevin Durant's... Oh, no, it wasn't his rookie season.
No.
That was his second year. Yeah, that was his second year.
I would have been upset.
Right.
I would have been upset. Maybe I was. We were doing the show. I probably was upset.
Yeah.
That he was
MIP was much different
MIP
back then.
MIP votes. Yes, it was. It was. It wasn't that superstardom leap. It was guys more along the lines of, you know.
Vom.
Well, I guess Danny Granger, did he turn into an all-star that year? I don't know.
That was his one All-Star season.
Well, there you go. It's, it set the tone for the rest of
the Wow, what a jump. He went from 28th in MIP voting to first. This is a great addition for basketball reference for what about this guy?
Yeah. On the side.
Yep. Yeah, I saw Otto Porter was fourth one year. It is nice. Nice addition there. Vaughn, I can't get over Vaughn Wafer.
I will think of that every time I think of Vaughn Wafer.
Somebody's going to vomit on that spot of the statue. Then that's sad and that's wrong. That's they probably dumb. Will, as a joke. Somebody's probably filming that, maybe a TikTok.
In
fake Vom, hopefully.
In reading about this, you know, the misspellings here, I was reminded. I was like, oh, yeah, there's two more Kobe statues coming.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I was like, I mean, you better have the magnifying glass out and have like 10 editors looking at this statue, whatever they're putting on the next two. You can't have this mistake again.
No.
Cannot have this happen again. But it does make you think, like, this has been out there for weeks.
Why did it take so long to...
Yeah, couldn't Laker fans look and see?
Yeah, I don't know.
Wasn't Calderson was a Laker at one point, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, Vaughn was a Laker.
Yeah.
They didn't notice or care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Kobe. He looks good.
Yeah, you're just taking a photo with it. You're not too worried that Vaughn Wafer's name is spelled wrong, I guess.
That's true.
Or the word decision in coach's decision. Very strange, very strange. But good tweet there. Two games on TNT tonight. Sixers-Knicks, Wolves-Clippers. You know, could be missing a whole bunch of guys in those two games on TNT. So maybe a little rough. We also have Wizards-Grizzlies. That's big for me in the Nut Dust Bowl. Pacers Thunder, that one's not bad. Rockets Spurs, Celtics Jazz, and Bucks Kings. I say that to tell you that we'll be back tomorrow talking about a lot of those games. We might hit the beach. Get your questions in. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Leave them in the YouTube comments. We'll make sure to get a tweet out there as well if you want to reply to that at NoDunksInc. But otherwise, yeah. Can't wait to see you guys tomorrow. Till then, Clipper Bro.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, new NBA deal got me thinking. NBA TV, I'm always thinking about NBA TV, but the new NBA deal got me thinking because apparently the BRI lists that players get money for fans who vote, who bet, who gamble on this sport. Players get money.
They get a percentage.
They get a percentage. Makes me think, what happens to Rudy Gobert? What does he do? Does he give the money back? I don't know. I need to know more. I'm just Googling.
Brace the day, people. I'm just
Googling. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.